You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Good morning to you. Welcome in. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Alongside my pal, Rob Parker, who, maybe we should do the story at some point, Rob.
What story like the, is that, Doug?
The 15 years ago. We should have worked together 15 years ago story.
Is that crazy? Seriously, think about that.
It's crazy.
It was close.
It was close.
I thought I did all right on the tryout. I guess not, right? I didn't get the job.
Yeah, well, I mean, you asked for $2.3 million, and it would have been a bargain back then.
It would have been a bargain.
It was a bargain. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes. Don't worry, folks. They'll be back on Monday, as if you've been following their travels, especially Polly down the south, filling up his gullet with all kinds of good eats. We got a great show for you. Kind of programming note, Eric Mangini, the Man Genius, will join us upcoming in 20 minutes. We'll get you ready for the NFL draft. And then Frank Isola, of course, who covers the NBA. We'll get his thoughts on Anthony Davis, who has been cleared for all physical activity, cleared for a return as we get ready for the stretch run of the regular season, the play-in round of the playoffs, and then the NBA playoffs. And Andrew Brandt will join us in the third and final hour of the show. He of sports business fame. And we'll ask him about some of the contract situations as well as at players universally seemingly refusing to show up to voluntary. Let's do the Joey from Friends thing. Voluntary
exactly.
Workouts in the National Football League. But well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Doug, I was going to say, looking forward to the next 3 hours with you on the show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I do want to say happy Jackie Robinson Day number two for you. Major League Baseball decided that it would be it's usually April 15th, which is the day he broke into the major leagues in 1947 and broke the color barrier, but they're also doing it today. So all the players are wearing number 42 to honor such a great man. And tonight, Doug, I'll be the guy who can't wait to watch the Padres and Dodgers down in San Diego weekend series. The Dodgers have set up their rotation with their three best pitchers for a series in week two of the baseball season against the Padres. And somehow, Fernando Tatis is expected to play. Do you remember the shoulder popping out 10 days ago?
Yeah. Yeah, is he Riggs or is he Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon? I think it was Riggs, right? Mel Gibson's character was Riggs. Somebody looked that up. Yeah, it was Riggs. Do you know? Were you a Lethal Weapon fan?
Yeah, I remember that. Tell me, what am I missing?
So Mel Gibson's character was Riggs. Riggs and Murtaugh. Riggs, Murtaugh, get in here,
that. Right? Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
That was a good
it was movie. Great. And then they added Chris Rock and Joe Pesci. It really kind of revived the series. So anytime they get into hijinks and Riggs would get tied up, or one time he was underwater tied up, right? In order to get out of being tied up, spoiler alert, I know it's a 25-30-year-old movie.
If somebody's going to be like, Doug ruined the movie for me that was out 25 years ago.
I ruined Lethal Weapon, right. Too. He could pop his shoulder out of socket
there we
and
go.
Then
okay.
pop his shoulder back into socket. Of course, it was only It was only in case of emergency. It was like that break glass, only in case of emergency.
Right.
Only pop your shoulder out.
Have you ever had your shoulder out, Doug, real quick? Have your shoulder, had your shoulder ever popped out?
I think so. I've never had it to the point where somebody goes like, come here, bite on this piece of wood.
Right.
You know, like it pops it back in.
But I thought he was going to be out for a couple of months. I'm just shocked. He took batting practice in Pittsburgh earlier this week. I'm shocked he's playing. And if they were playing the Cleveland Indians this weekend, Doug, would he be playing?
No, but okay. It's a rivalry's good. Baseball.
No, I know.
Absolutely needs it. Absolutely, positively needs it. Real quick on Jackie Robinson, like
yes,
there's a lot to him, which is amazing, right? Like he was a great tennis player. People forget. So when I grew up in Southern California, and he went to John Muir High School in Pasadena. But when I was a freshman, we played against what I thought was the best basketball player ever at John Muir High School, which was Jock Vaughn. We played against him in ended his career in the CIF quarterfinals or whatever. Anyway, Jock was amazing. Amazing before he went on to. Of course, now he's an assistant with the associate head coach for the Brooklyn Nets. Well, it turns out then it was like, no. Actually, Stacey Augmon is what I thought was the greatest modern athlete at John Muir High School. Stacey Augmon was All-State in three different sports. And they're like, no, nobody is going to be the greatest athlete in John Muir High School. I was like, why? Like, Jackie Robinson went there. Like, okay, so he's a great baseball player. Like, no.
No, right.
Football, basketball, track, baseball, and tennis. And then he went to junior college. And now our feelings of junior college are, well, you only go there if you're under-recruited, you have no grades. Like, that wasn't the case. It was just different. And then, of course, you know, he was an All-American in three sports at UCLA. So he was, in addition to, and he served in the military. So there really is zero boxes that he didn't check. And I don't think anyone who's a reasonable human being who knows anything about history shouldn't say like, hey, you know, we can go from 2 days to a whole week. It doesn't really matter. He's that impactful human being on the sports world.
No doubt. And what baseball does for him, and you know this, Doug, being a former athlete, to have your number retired throughout, you know, a whole sport tells you your importance and your place in history. And 1947, that's 20 some odd years before the civil rights movement. Just think about what America was like in 1947 and what he had to endure. And if you ever seen, did you watch 42, the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just the scene where he's in Philadelphia and the manager is going off on him and calling him all kinds of names. It was very tough to watch. And I can imagine, you know, what it was like for him. And not only did he persevere through that, Doug, he became the rookie of the year, and back then there weren't American League and National League. There was just one rookie of the year. And think about this, the only black guy in Major League Baseball, all the writers who voted for the awards were white, all the fans, you know, basically or whatever, and all everybody. And this guy persevered, played well enough to earn that award. I think it's an incredible story.
It is. Doug Parker, Doug Gottlieb, Dan and the Danettes are off for one more day back on Monday. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to something that happened yesterday. Josh Fields. I'm going back to Oklahoma State history.
Okay.
Quarterback, of course, went on to play in Major League Baseball for the White Sox. You look at what's happening with the quarterback position as we get ready for the draft. We all know Trevor Lawrence is going one. It seems like a foregone conclusion. We know who's going number two with Zach Wilson. You okay with that?
Yeah, that's what everybody's talking about, that the Jets, that's who they're going to pick and go on from there.
Okay. So Trevor Lawrence one, Zach Wilson two. And then the question becomes, what do the San Francisco 49ers do at three? Do they go Justin Fields? Do they go Trey Lance? Do they go Mac Jones? Of course, he had his second pro day. And for people who aren't really following this thing, you're like, well, what did he screw up in his first pro day? Now, it's not like Lonzo Ball. So Lonzo Ball had a bad individual workout with the Lakers, and then they had a second individual workout. I was like, no, let me fix that. Come to this other gym, and I'll come work. That's not what happened with Justin Fields. What happened with Justin Fields is there are no individual workouts. You can't do private workouts for a team by rule this year because of COVID. So you have a second pro day, but you really invite one team and it becomes a de facto private workout. And so we're kind of left with the, what will Kyle Shanahan do? Apparently, Justin Fields doing everything in his power to be that number three selection, even switching his when he takes a snap under center. I guess Kyle Shanahan is a nitpicker on having your right foot back. He's always had his left foot back, so he switched from his left to his right, back to the front, back. Anyway, so if it's you, Rob, what's your take on number three, the quarterback, who the Niners are going to take?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to take Justin Fields, and I guess that's where I'm curious about him and whether or not, Doug, it's fair that you know, Ohio State quarterbacks have a bad rap. That and I'm not Joe Burrow excluded, right? Because he looks like the real deal. I know he got hurt, but he looked like
Left Ohio State in order to play,
right? But I mean, I wouldn't count. Well, he came from there, is what I was saying.
Okay. I understand.
Right. But so I'm not counting him. But Dwayne Haskins, right, was the latest guy who went to Washington, and maybe he'll revive his career. In New Orleans. Is it New Orleans? New Orleans.
I thought he went to Pittsburgh.
Oh, Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Pittsburgh. But there's just a long list of guys that just haven't seemed to pan out. Troy Smith, right? Terrell Pryor, Cardale Jones. Everybody thought, remember in the championship game, the road to the championship game, he beat the four best teams in the country. He looked like an unbelievable player. Going back to Arch Sleaster, do you remember him? I think he was the fourth overall pick.
Sure.
He had a gambling issue, but he also didn't play that well in the NFL. Actually, never won a game as a starter, which is he was the fourth pick. But anyway, I just wonder if Fields isn't going to go, because he did everything he was supposed to do in college, Doug. So why wouldn't San Francisco want him? If they don't pick him, do you think it has something to do with that? Or do you just think it's that they like the other guy better?
Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones better. Jones. You know what I mean?
Look, it's hard to read the tea leaves. I was listening to Clay Travis who preceded this show, and I've seen this online at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, which is that he's now the betting favorite to be that number three pick. But I don't know if that matters. You're right. People in the NFL are saying it's going to be Mac Jones. There's a lot to it. I don't think it has anything to do with where he played. You know, he started his career at Georgia. He was the number one recruit in high school. He was a backup. He transfers. He plays right away, and he was spectacular his first season. This year he was very, very good. And then of course the national semifinal game, he basically threw a perfect game. I mean, he was incredible. But there's obviously some flaws to what he does in comparison to what a Trevor Lawrence does, what a Zach Wilson does, because he's not really in consideration for those top two picks, even though he's a profound talent. I honestly don't care what he did in college. We've seen enough great college quarterbacks fall by the wayside in the pros
Big
to understand
time.
It's a different sport. It might as well be a different. They still play with 11 guys on your side, 11 on the other, and it's football and it's helmets. But a lot of what it takes to be a great NFL quarterback is not a lot of what it takes necessarily to be a college quarterback. My question, though, is it feels like Mac Jones is more refined at this point in his career, closer to his ceiling, but more refined and more ready to play maybe in the NFL level than Fields and Trey Lance. But if that's the case, why would you hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo? Right? If you're going to hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo for a year, and we don't know if that's what they're doing, they may hold on to him just until after the draft, make sure they get their guy, and then trade him to the New England Patriots, who I don't think they're really going to roll back out there with Cam Newton. But if you're going to get a guy who you think needs to develop, if you're going to try and do the Pat Mahomes, which is what they've told people, we're going to do the Pat Mahomes, develop a guy for a year, and then get rid of Garoppolo, and then it'll be his team. Doesn't that feel more like a Lance and a Field situation than a Mac Jones situation? I'm just trying to read the tea leaves.
I see what you're saying, because you're saying Mac Jones is ready to play, right? He's more refined. So if you get that guy, put him in. The only way you learn to play a quarterback in the NFL is by playing quarterback in the NFL, right? So what would be your hesitation? I agree.
Yes. So, I'm just trying to read the tea leaves. You know, the Kyle Shanahan thing is this. Do I think that he thinks he knows more than everybody else about his system? Sure. But I also think there's reason that he may think he knows more because he actually may know more about what he needs in his system and what he hasn't been getting. Look, the guys he's had most success with, I know RG3 was the rookie of the year, but you know, they acquiesced to RG3 and basically ran Baylor's offense. They tried to make him into their style of quarterback. Some of it was injuries, but some of it's just that's not who he is.
Because so, he had an unbelievable rookie year.
Unbelievable rookie year. And then he was playing hurt and then tore his ACL in that ill-fated playoff game, I think against Seattle, at home. But, like, look, the guys he's had success with in the NFL, Matt Schaub, right? Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. Like those guys are guys that you'd think lower ceiling, you know, more ready to play, just good, solid quarterbacks. Like, is he going to draft one of those kind of guys at number three in the draft? That would be stunning. Because I think the reason Fields wants to go three, and obviously Lance, it's not the ego of going three. It's, dude, that's a setup, right? It's a great setup. They're going to have, you're going to get to sit for parts of a year and learn. They got a good offensive line. They know how to run the football. They got talent outside the numbers, and their defense is stacked. And every quarterback who's played for Shanahan has had better success than their talent would normally tell you, right? Like Jimmy Garoppolo hadn't really played. He comes in, it takes him to a Super Bowl. He last ended the season, okay, as the starting quarterback of a Super Bowl team that had a 28-10 lead in the fourth quarter. So, you know, look, if they can do that with Jimmy Garoppolo, what can they do with one of these young star quarterbacks? I think that's why everybody wants to get to that third spot. My answer is I don't know. Do you know? And I don't think it has anything to do with Ohio State. I really don't. Guys running wide open in college football because they have more talent than everybody else. I don't think that takes away from what people see and what people don't see about Justin Fields. All right, let's do this. We'll table it. Eric Mangini is going to join us upcoming next, and we'll get his thoughts, plus his thoughts on Julian Edelman, who called it a career this week. Of course, he's a former assistant with the New England Patriots and then a head coach with the Jets playing against Julian Edelman. That's upcoming next with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, let's get ready for the NFL draft. Eric Mangini, of course, has been a part of some incredible coaching staffs in San Francisco, head coach of the Jets, the Browns, and of course, a longtime assistant with the New England Patriots. And he's kind enough to spend some time with us here on the DP show. And
Eric, though he found out I was on it, I'm surprised he didn't cancel the appearance.
That's the reason I came on, is because you're on it.
I'm just wondering.
Eric, let's start with number three. Okay, the number three pick. That's really where the draft will turn. Give me your sense of Kyle Shanahan, right? Like, again, this is Football Outsider says, okay, Kyle Shanahan, you know, specific desire offense, kind of a little bit of a quarterback guru. You know, there's some confidence there. Some people think a little arrogance there, but he's been really, really successful. You know, Houston, Matt Schaub, they were successful with. Matt Ryan was the MVP. RG3, they changed their system. He was the rookie of the year. And, of course, they went to a Super Bowl with Garoppolo. What do you think he's looking for?
Also choked down two Super Bowls, but that's another story.
No question they choked two Super Bowls. That's no question. But they did have the lead in both Super Bowls.
No, but they didn't do the right thing at the end of the games. He should have two Super Bowls.
Inarguable. But Eric, take me inside a coach's mind, a GM's mind, and John Lynch, and what you think they're looking for at three.
Well, this is such an interesting discussion because people seem to be very unhappy that they would be considering Mac Jones at this spot. But what's forgotten is that coaches don't go into a quarterback evaluation saying, what is the guy going to do when my play breaks down? That's not the starting point. So it doesn't start with mobility. It starts with how well can this guy run my system? How well can he go through his read progressions? How well can he throw the ball when the whole world knows that he has to throw the ball at the end of the game? And that's the starting point. And Mac Jones has done that really well. So I can see why he's in the discussion. You know, you look at a guy like Justin Fields, who's also had very good accuracy, has won a lot of games, has done a lot of really good things, and is a more mobile player, and you can argue for the upside. But they're going through this process right now, and this process will probably go right up until the draft, where they're getting to know the human beings as well. Because playing quarterback, it's part of what you do on the field, but it's also all the other stuff that goes into it, your level of preparation, your ability to comprehend multiple concepts, read defenses, affect other players. And I think that's where the change can take over even the next couple weeks, or already has, as they get to know the human beings.
What about Trevor Lawrence's comments, Eric? You saw in SI people talking about him, his dad, his coach. He could give up football tomorrow. He said he's not going to stress out or like over football every waking minute of the day. Would that bother you as a head coach, or would you just look at it and say, you know, he's a different kind of guy. He can play when he's on the field, but he's not consumed or obsessed by it. Do you need to be obsessed to be a good player in the NFL?
Yeah, I think you need to be obsessed to be a good quarterback in the NFL, especially because there's so many details, and it's such a grind mentally. Jimmy Johnson has talked about the idea of drafting guys that don't have a parachute, where he would go get some guys who if football didn't work out, they didn't have a plan B, and that constantly motivated them to be successful. And you know, he's in it. Obviously, this is a different situation, but you'd love to hear the guy who is chasing Tom Brady or chasing Peyton Manning or chasing the greats. And I know he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder because he's going to be drafted number one overall, but you really ideally want the guy who is desperately searching for greatness, especially taking him as the first pick in the draft.
But Eric, let me push back on this. This is the problem I have.
Okay.
There are plenty of those guys, and a lot of them don't succeed or aren't very good. So you can, you know,
tell me the guys who succeed.
I've talked to NFL players
invested.
Who told me that they don't love football.
No, quarterbacks,
because they can. Just hear me out.
Okay.
Also, NFL coaches. Oh yeah, they don't go home. They sleep on the couch. They stay in their office. They watch film 23 hours a day. Yeah. But they don't win any Super Bowls. They don't win. They still get fired. I'm not saying that you know, having that is a bad thing, but I don't think that automatically means you're going to be a great player because you obsess over it or it's the only thing you think about all day. That's my point, is that I think there are a lot of guys who live that life who aren't successful because they don't have talent.
Well, yeah, we're assuming the starting point is talent. And when you talk about those guys, Rob, that do obsess and aren't ultimately successful in winning the Super Bowl, where would they be if they didn't obsess? Maybe they've reached the highest level that they've reached because of their obsession. And to me, I'm a big believer that talent sets the floor and character sets the ceiling. And that if you have a guy with really high character and drive, and I'm not taking anything away from Trevor Lawrence, but when you have that situation, average becomes good, good becomes great, and great becomes a Hall of Famer, because you're pairing up the talent with that drive, that character.
I think that's just PR talk. To that, if I don't say anything, if I didn't say anything, you wouldn't think anything of me. But if I go out and tell you, oh yeah, football is all I think about and I can't, whatever, then all of a sudden your whole mentality or the way you look at me changes, whether that's true or not. I could have given you a phony story if I'm Trevor Lawrence and told you that, and then you would tell me that you would think he has a chance of being the greatest quarterback ever because he gave you a phony story about how he obsessed with football and he wasn't honest with you and told you that it doesn't matter to him. Do you see what I'm saying?
If you're telling me someone's lying, that's different. And I have no problem with someone expressing sincerely how they feel. I just think that maybe it's similar to an Andrew Luck situation where Andrew had other alternatives. He had other things that he wanted to do, and he decided it was time to move on from football. That's his right, and he earned that right, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're asking me from an executive standpoint or from a head coaching standpoint, do I want someone that is chasing Tom Brady? Yeah, I do. I'm not saying I want someone to lie to me, but I would like someone that has that mentality. I think that is helpful.
Yeah, no, it's one of those, and even if they lie or tell the truth, I mean, that's part of why you spend so much money and do background research into these guys. But Rob, you know, I'd push back, like, you go through, and, I mean, why'd the Rams sour on Jared Goff, right? Why'd they sour on Jared Goff? They soured on Jared Goff because they felt like he didn't obsess over it.
So Matthew Stafford is obsessed over it, but hasn't won a playoff game in 12 years or a big game.
Well, he also wasn't surrounded. Again,
no. I watched his whole entire career. There were plenty of opportunities for him to carry that team, and it's not true. Everybody's blaming everybody but Matthew Stafford. And my point is only that, Matthew Stafford is better. Yeah, okay, because he put up meaningless numbers in meaningless games where he's down 21 points in the first quarter. That's the
Rob,
Matthew
you're,
Stafford
you're literally the only person on earth who thinks that Matt Stafford is not a very good quarterback. Like you're the only guy who thinks that I watched every game
from the start of his career.
I understand. I know your passion for Doug.
You watched highlights.
No.
Matthew Stafford.
I'm going to be honest with you, I barely watched the Lions. But what I know is that the NFL, he wouldn't have commanded a starting quarterback and other first-round picks unless he had a ton of value, because the evaluators in the NFL believe he's a top-flight quarterback who is simply surrounded with an absolute mess of a franchise. That's what he thinks. He never played in a system which helped his skill set. Again, ask Eric Mangini. Right? Like when he played for Jim Bob Cooter, I've talked to NFL people like, dude, he played for the most rudimentary systems where they didn't even use motion. Everybody's static.
Calvin Johnson got into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot with playing on a horrible franchise, right? But you're conflating things.
Nobody ever said he didn't have anybody. They weren't a well-run team. They didn't have a good defense. They didn't have a good running game. And you're not winning any championships without a defense, running game, and quality franchise. Go ahead, Eric.
I think, too, Rob, what comes in the equation with this is we're not playing golf, right? It's not an individual game. You are dependent on the people that are around you. And to go back to the original question, the obsessing over the game and your progress in the game and your approach to the game, to me, you're hoping that leads to them maximizing the natural talent that they have. That's where I'm saying the correlation is. If someone isn't as obsessed, it doesn't mean they won't necessarily achieve at a certain level. But you wonder, are they going to achieve at the level that they could potentially achieve at?
Hey, all right, let's switch to this. Teams are skipping the voluntary workouts. Eric, what do you make of that, you know, with the COVID concerns? If you were coaching and your team didn't want to come in, would you understand?
Look, this is such a unpredictable and uncertain time that it's hard to pass judgment on anybody's decision in relationship to COVID. The thing that I haven't seen is what protocols are not in place that the players disagree with, and that's where it just seems a little disingenuous. Is what is the NFL not doing to make you feel as secure as possible? If they were not providing testing, if they were not providing vaccinations, if they were not social distancing, if they weren't doing everything they could, then I would say, of course, you shouldn't go in. But I don't see that part of it, Rob. So, what are the issues?
So you're saying that players, you're saying players just don't want to work out. That the NFL needs to get rid of the word voluntary, right? And either you make it a part of their contract that they come in for these workouts, or you eliminate it. So that's, you're saying that it has nothing to do with COVID, that the players don't want to come in.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it has nothing to do with COVID, because, look, COVID has something to do with everything that everybody's doing now. but I'm trying to understand what are the roadblocks between coming in and not coming in that the NFL isn't trying to overcome.
I think your point is well taken, and that's what I'm asking.
I don't think it has anything to do with COVID. It's a joke. They agreed to a 10-year collective bargaining agreement, and they did not address this. Right? They have a CBA for 10 years. They did not address or change any the wording of the voluntary workouts, and they're using a loophole to try. Well, they're using COVID. Like, we can't come in because of COVID. Okay, so you can go work out in a private facility. Right, that's what you want to do. You can work at a private facility, and possibly that doesn't make any sense. That argument holds no water. By the way, NFL players were frustrated last year over not being able to get into their facilities to work out. Now you don't want to work out. Like it basically feels like the union, trying to throw their weight around, and it doesn't make any sense.
And it does put some guys in a bind because there are guys that have incentives tied into the off-season program that they can earn, and there are a bunch of players that do really benefit from being in the building, whether it's through the strength and conditioning program or the work on the field or the work with the coaches. So when you make these blanket decisions to that affect whole groups of people, you're really taking the voluntary aspect away from the player from a union perspective.
Eric Mangini, our guest here on the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. What are the Patriots going to do? At quarterback?
That's a wonderful question. You know, it's not an easy problem to solve, obviously. And it's not like this is the first time they've had to address the quarterback issue. Bill's drafted 11 quarterbacks over the last 20 years. And then they drafted another one in Cleveland. And, you hit the football lottery with Tom Brady in the sixth round. And you could say that you did well with Jimmy Garoppolo, however you want to, view his success or failure. Matt Castle would probably be the next most successful guy. It's not easy. People are talking about it as, just trade up and go get a guy. It doesn't work that way. They've been trying to replace Tom Brady because of his age for the last, 6 or 7 years, and they haven't hit. I think they'll continue to look for guys. I imagine they'll get a guy maybe in the second or third round. It's hard to envision him trading up high in the first. He hasn't done it in 26 years as a head coach where he's traded or drafted a quarterback in the first round. Maybe this will be the year. I mean, his free agency spending was uncharacteristic as well. It just hasn't been the pattern, though.
Eric, what about Julian Edelman? Called it a career with the Patriots, retired after he failed his physical, and that's a wrap. Won a Super Bowl MVP, was on a Super Bowl winning team 3 times. Regular season stats, not so good. Is he a Hall of Famer in your opinion?
I would imagine he's got to be deep in the discussions for Hall of Fame because of what he's done in the postseason. I mean, the guy averaged over six catches per game in the postseason.
Never made a Pro Bowl, never was an All-Pro. How could he be a Hall of Famer, Eric? Come on, seriously.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the Pro Bowl is
All-Pro.
The all
never,
end all.
Nope, All-Pro? Never an All-Pro? That's a Hall of Famer?
Well, you're looking at the success that New England has. How much credit would you give him for those successful years?
Let me ask you.
Was he just an irrelevant part?
No, Eric. I think you make a great point. You're going to help obviously make my point, which be, I think as fans we talk about stats or even catches. It's like all the little things. What's the most important down in football? Third down. And he and Wes Welker were dominant on third down. Why can't a slot wide receiver be in the Hall of Fame if you're the best slot wide receiver who makes the most impactful plays in the Super Bowl?
But if he did all that during his playing career, his numbers, there are so many other guys who played his position who have Hines Ward has way better statistics. He's not in the Hall of Fame, okay? He won a Super Bowl MVP. He helped the Steelers during their runs and was a great player. He's not in the Hall of Fame. And here's the other caveat that kills me. He also got suspended for PED use, and we vilify baseball players, but Edelman, nobody even mentions it. Why is it okay for him to do PEDs, get busted, and you guys want to send them to the Hall of Fame? I think that's BS.
I don't think I'm necessarily saying he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I don't know when he'll get in. I do think he has to be in the discussion at some point because of his body of work. I mean, the Hall of Fame is based off of your body of work, and he's had tremendous impact on a team that's had tremendous success. And a lot of his impact was in the most crucial moments. Do you value the performance in those moments? Is that special or is it not special? Is it unique or is it not unique? To me, I think it's unique.
Eric, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Eric, really, thank you. You were my really coffee this morning. I'm pumped up after talking to you.
You should call me every morning then, Rob, because we need to get you more pumped up.
Yes, I love it. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric Mangini, appreciate former NFL head coach and TV analyst. All right, coming up next, Anthony Davis has been cleared to return, so too have Laker fans. How will it affect the league? Find out next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show. Frank Isola will join us next hour. Rob, did you see that they're going to let some fans back in at Staples Center and just happens to coincide with Anthony Davis being cleared to return?
Yes, it's good. I love it. I'm loving to see fans back at the ballpark. As we've seen it in baseball some places. We saw a sold-out stadium. Did you see in Arlington, Texas, Doug, for opening day? Sold out, like packed. It was a sight for sore eyes. But yes, in the NBA, I'm happy to hear fans are coming back.
Have you gotten the vaccination?
One shot. I'm waiting for the second one. What about you?
I got the now paused Johnson & Johnson last Friday.
You? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw so there was some side effects, right? A couple people?
Yeah, it was like six people. And like, yeah, I mean, the numbers don't suggest that they should stop it. But again, out of an abundance of caution, which is fine. Okay. So how did you feel after you got your first shot?
Just sore, and where I got the shot. But I didn't get sick. I didn't feel any symptoms. Knock on wood. I felt good. How about you? Did you have any issues?
Yes, I felt terrible.
Did you really, Doug? Did it really knock you out?
Listen, I knock wood, never. But I very, very, very rarely ever get sick.
See, I'm like that. Knock on wood. I'm one of those people, too. At one stretch, Doug, I think in my professional career, I might have gone like 10 or 12 years without ever missing work. You know what I mean?
I never missed a day of work for being sick.
Is that right? That's unbelievable.
Ever.
I had one or two.
But it's also like way like what we do. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Like,
No. All right. But you still have to be, if your head is clogged or you don't, you know what I mean? Like, there's, right. Or you got a bad headache.
Well, I mean, like, look, Monday, my voice wasn't great. I could have blamed it on the shot, but it was really because I coached, five teams in an AU tournament.
Well, you already know that had something to do with it.
That had everything to do with it. And anyway, so I blame the officials actually on that one. but I had the chills, something fierce that night. And then I just had like a neck ache and headache for about 24, 36 hours after the shot. And then I was fine. I've been told that the two shot ones, the second shot is when you feel some effects, and it varies in levels.
Yeah. I've heard that the second one could do something to you. We'll see. I'm hoping not, but I want to be totally vaccinated. But in fact,
because you're a traveler, you're like a world traveler.
I just bought a ticket, Doug, yesterday. If you could believe it, I'm going to Australia in January of 2022. I've already been, but I never went to the West Coast, to Perth. So that's going to be a part of the trip, but I'm going to go for about 8 or 9 days to Australia. My second, I went back in the 90s, like early 90s. So I haven't been there in a long time. But yeah, I want to, and I want to go to Russia as well next year. So those are my two trips.
Я говорит по-русски. I speak a little Russian.
Really?
Yeah, I play basketball in Russia. I took a Russian tutor. I could speak a little Russian. I can understand a lot. Yeah, it's amazing. I'll be your tour guide when to go. Don't go in winter.
Yes.
Don't go in winter.
No, I'm not going. I'm going to go in the summer. Definitely.
Right. But I like that you're going to Australia in summer in Australia, right?
Yes, January. That's summer. Yes.
That's smart.
I went to the Australian Open the last time I went in the 90s. So I'll probably take that in as well. And, you know, to go to the Opera House there in Sydney. Darling Harbour. Have you been? You've been to Australia, right?
No.
No? Doug, it is a must. It is, their landmass is similar to ours, not the same size, similar. And Sydney and Perth are like New York and L.A., 3,000 miles apart on the East Coast and West Coast, you know, like that. Even though Perth is not L.A., it's not as glamorous of a city as, say, Sydney is. But still, I want to see it. I want to see as much of the world as I can while I'm alive.
So where do you... Where do you stay when you travel? Like, are you a hostel guy? Are you going to pop in somebody's house?
No,
are you gonna stay
I'm a Marriott guy. I need to be in a...
So you're going to go all the way to Perth, Australia and go stay at a Marriott?
Yes, I'm going to stay at a hotel that I'm going to feel comfortable in. I've stayed at some questionable hotels, you know what I mean, Doug, to save some money when I was in college.
When you say questionable... Everyone's mind starts racing in terms of questionable. Yeah.
Places that if I did it again, I probably wouldn't stay there. But you know what I mean. But I was in college. Me and a buddy, we graduated from Columbia J School. My buddy George Smith, who's in the media. Do you know George? He used to work at ESPN.
Of course.
George Smith. Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Great guy. George and I went to Europe after we got out of Columbia, and we roughed it. We didn't have any money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we backpacked it, stayed at some cheap hotels, but we had a great time. So, yeah, I love to travel.
Anthony Davis is back with the Lakers, okay? And he's been cleared for full contact practice. Is this enough time for the Lakers to get their chemistry right to win another championship?
Yeah, only because they played together. It's about them just being healthy, not chemistry so much. When you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James and a cast, you're going to have a shot. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, Doug, but they have a shot if those guys are healthy. If either one of them is not healthy, completely healthy, they have no shot to win.
I agree if they have no shot to win if either isn't healthy. I think it's interesting. You know, we're so dismissive of the Clippers. We're like, well, they fell apart in the bubble. They did. But I felt like they addressed all of their needs And here's the big thing. Like, LeBron didn't win his first year in L.A. He didn't win his first year back in Cleveland.
Nope.
Didn't win his first year in Miami either. Is that sometimes those super teams, that first year, you kind of got to fix it and put it together. And look, kind of similarly, LeBron changed coaches too, except for in Miami.
I'm with you on this. I think the Clippers are under the radar, Doug, and they got Rondo, which is a big piece that they needed. I like the Clippers to come out of the West. I'm with you.
All right, more on the NBA to come, including the Brooklyn Nets. All right, now the other side, Perth and Sydney. All right, we'll head to Sydney. Upcoming next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.